Chapter 9. Goodbye. Later that day, Andrews came to our hut and asked me to walk with him. "It's getting warm," I said.
"Yeah,"
said Andrews, looking up at the sky. "Do you know where they're deporting us?" I asked. "I think they're taking you to another camp. Some of the NKVD are going too. They are packing." I can't stop thinking of my father and what it said in the document, I said. "Lena, I know what the word in the document means," said Andrews. I stopped and looked at him for the answer. He reached out and moved my hair away from my eyes.
"It means accessory," said Andrews. "That is someone who helps a criminal. It probably means that he tried to help people who were in danger."
"Well, of course he'd do that. But he's not a criminal, is he?"
"Of course not. We're not criminals," he said.
He took my hand and kissed it. We walked hand in hand, neither of us speaking.
"I don't want to go,"
I said finally.
"I don't want you to go,"
he whispered back.
"I'll write to you.
I'll send letters to the village," I said. When we arrived back at the hut, I went inside and grabbed all of my drawings. Then I walked outside and handed them to him.
"What are you doing?"
he asked.
"Hide them and keep them safe for me," I said. "These drawings need to be seen." "You must keep drawing," said Andrews. "My mother says the world doesn't know what the Soviets are doing to us. If other countries knew, they might help."
"I will," I said.
"That's why you have to keep them safe for me."
I kissed him again.
"Krasivaya," he said into my ear. "Have you learned it yet?"
"Not yet," I said, closing my eyes. Then I watched him walk away into the dark night, my drawings under his coat. They came before sunrise, waving their guns. We had only minutes, but this time I was ready to leave. The NKVD told us to stand and wait outside of our huts. The gray-haired man and the bald man were on the list, along with Miss Grebus. There was a little girl with a doll, her mother, and a tall man. Many other people were waiting outside. A large truck sat near the NKVD office. The blonde officer, Kretzky, was smoking next to it. People climbed into the back of the truck and waved goodbye.
"Take care, Jonas," said Andrews' voice behind us. "Goodbye, Mrs. Vilkas."
"Goodbye, Andrews," said Mother, kissing his cheeks.
"Goodbye,"
said Andrews, turning to me. For the first time in months, I cried.
"I'll see you soon," he said. "Just think about that. Think about me bringing you your drawings, because I'll be there."
We traveled all morning in the truck, and I thought of Andrews. Late that afternoon, we reached a train station and were put into train cars. I sat on the floor next to Yanina, the girl with the doll. Her hands were now empty.
"Where's your doll?" I asked.
"Dead,"
said the girl with black eyes.
"The NKVD killed her."
"You must miss her a lot," I said.
"Well, I missed her at first. I kept crying and crying. Then an officer told me to stop crying and hit me on the head."
"The NKVD were disgusting. Yanina was just a child. I thought of Andrews. What was he doing back at the camp? Had he looked at my drawings? I reached into my pocket and put my fingers around the stone that he had given me. After a week, the train stopped late at night. Miss Grebus said that she saw a sign that said Makarov. The officers told us to get out and walk toward a large building. Mother fell in the dirt.
"Lift her, quickly," said Miss Grebus. "Don't let the officers see her."
"I'll be fine," said Mother. "I'm just tired." I helped Mother walk while Jonas carried our suitcases. She fell again as we reached the building.
"Davai!"
an officer shouted. My stomach dropped. It was Kretzky. He had traveled with us.
"Nikolai," Mother said softly.
Kretzky pointed in another direction and walked away toward a group of people. The building was very big, which was good because there were 1,000 of us. We were too tired to speak, so we lay on the floor and slept. In the morning, I felt Yanina sleeping against my back. Jonas was sitting on his suitcase, staring at me. I looked at Mother, who was sleeping with her face and arms on her suitcase.
"She called him Nikolai," said Jonas.
"What?" I asked.
"The blonde officer, Kretzky," he said. "Last night, she called him Nikolai."
"Is that his first name?" I asked.
"I don't know." "How does she know?" said Jonas angrily. "Why did he come with us?"
The NKVD arrived with bread and buckets of vegetable soup.
"Why are they feeding us?" I asked.
"We're going to America," said the tall man. "They're getting us ready."
"They want to make us strong for work," Jonas said.
"Eat every last bit," said Mother, who was awake now. After the meal, the officers took us to another building and told us to take off our clothes. The officers did not stare at us this time because our bodies were too starved. After our showers, we were put on a truck with our suitcases and driven through the woods until we arrived at the Angara River.
"Why are we here?" asked Jonas.
"They're putting us on barges," said the tall man. "We're going to America. America!"
America? We could not leave Father in prison. I needed to get my drawings to him. And what about the war? What was happening in America? What would happen if other countries' leaders became friends with Stalin? I remembered Andrews's face when he told me that we were on the list. Something about his look told me that we were not going to America. It was a week before the barge arrived at the Angara River, and while we waited, they fed us bread and soup. Why were they feeding us so much food? They needed us to be strong, but what for? I drew for Father and wrote to Andrews every day, hiding the drawings in my suitcase. One day, after sitting in the sun, my mother and I went swimming in the river.
"Cover yourself!" Jonas shouted. "The NKVD are watching!"
"They have no interest in us," said Mother.
"They found Mrs. Arvidas interesting. Maybe he finds you interesting," said Jonas.
"Who?" said Mother.
"Nikolai," said Jonas.
"Stop it. We don't know Nikolai," said Mother.
"Why do you call him Nikolai?
How do you know his name? I asked.
Mother looked from me to Jonas.
I asked him, she said.
I felt sick.
Was Jonas right?
But, Mother, he's horrible, I said.
We don't know what he is.
I laughed. Mother grabbed my arm.
We don't know that he's horrible. Do you hear me? He's a boy. He's just a boy.
I stood there, shocked.
And I'm not lying with him,
she shouted at Jonas.
What a disgusting thing to say.
When the barge finally arrived, the tall man continued to speak about America. He tried to draw maps of the United States, telling us things that he had heard from friends or family. He needed to believe that going to America and being free was possible.